We move the second case of the morning, Haley versus Gonzalez.
Oh, brother, another one.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Mary Sfasciotti, and I represent the petitioner in this case. Perhaps in a way I might be following the preceding argument by suggesting, or actually asserting, the proposition that a country that denationalizes, strips of citizenship, persons residing within its borders who were born and were accorded citizenship and nationality status of that country, whether that is not in itself persecution, especially, and more importantly, where it pertains to a specific group. What we have in this case is the aftermath of the Eritrean secession from Ethiopia and how Eritrea and, in fact, Ethiopia, above all, shamefully treated the citizens that it determined belonged to the other side. We contend that the immigration judge made a substantial error in finding and relying upon Fadul versus INS for the proposition that a state has the right to determine who's a citizen and who isn't a citizen. Well, that's a proposition, obviously, that we all can agree on. But that isn't the issue here. The issue is, can a state shamefully, without the consent of of the people it seeks to denationalize them and arbitrarily force them to live in another territory that had once been a part of itself? This implies not only domestic law of citizenship, which every sovereign has a right to enact, but it also implicates international law as it pertains to the recognition of nationality, not only by the state itself, but any other state, such as the United States.
Now, you're talking about as if they were stripped of their citizenship?
Absolutely.
And that would be persecution per se?
Yes, it is in this case, because it is directed at a specific group of persons with whom Ethiopia has had inimical relationships, political relationships of an adversarial nature. And what Ethiopia was doing was, and we must remember that Eritrea and Ethiopia were at war for some 20-odd years while Ethiopia was struggling for its own independence. But what Ethiopia did was to say anybody of parentage, Eritrean parentage, is no longer now considered a citizen of Ethiopia, without asking these people, which nationality do you prefer? Which nationality would you adopt? Which allegiance would you adopt? Our allegiance, our country, or Eritrea, our enemy, including the present time? But they didn't give them that choice. They just simply said, get out of here. Who remained is not considered a citizen anymore. They're considered foreigners. These are people who grew up in Ethiopia of Eritrean parentage, such as this petitioner, went to school there, got jobs there, was educated there, and who, like this petitioner, did not adopt the Eritrean citizenship like this petitioner's parents did. So why didn't Ethiopia give him a choice to remain an Ethiopian national? Because it was persecuting and punishing them. And punishment is persecution in the form of denationalization.
Ms. Fasciotti, Mr. Hale is stateless, is he not?
He absolutely is. And, in fact, to this day, Ethiopia will not recognize him and will not give him a passport, to the everlasting frustration of ICE. Ethiopia has violated international law. It has violated the Convention on the Treatment of Refugees because it has deprived a person of the very essence of his being, and that is his affiliation with a state. If Ethiopia had gone out and shot this petitioner, shot him dead, this petitioner would not suffer the way he's suffering now because he has no place to go. He is not a person of a nation. He has no rights in the country of his nationality and birth. He doesn't exist for all practical purposes. And so is the lot of quite a few Eritreans in Eritrea, in Ethiopia. So if they had killed him, he would have been better off. He would not have experienced consciously the fact of not being a person, the fact of being really a dead soul in the mankind. in the international community. Now, if we were to deport this man, where would he go? The immigration judge assumed that with a 1997 Ethiopian passport that this man is a citizen. But that is an assumption that holds up, not as a reality. Certainly not as this court recognized in Mengistu. This man has no place to go. Ethiopia is acting shamefully. Ethiopia and Eritrea are acting shamefully. They are deliberately punishing the ethnics of each other's countries. And as I indicate in my brief, citing Trove v. Dulles and Kennedy versus Mendoza-Martinez, this is punishment beyond physical punishment. This is punishment beyond mental torture. This is non-existence. That is persecution. And that is what is at issue in this case. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Potter?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Jonathan Potter on behalf of the Attorney General. Substantial evidence supports and no evidence compels the conclusion that the immigration judge erred in this case. First, as to Hale's claims that he is a stateless person, there is no evidence in this record that so shows that he is a stateless person. He has an Ethiopian passport.
He left his Ethiopian passport behind when he escaped to Kenya during the war, did he not?
He left it behind, that's correct, Your Honor, but he now has it again. And why he left it behind isn't really clear from the record. He says he left it behind and he received it after it was sent to him from relatives in Ethiopia. But it's not clear from the record why he left it behind. But the Ethiopian passport is part of the record, as is his Ethiopian birth certificate. And, Your Honor, in 1997, he went to Switzerland and returned with absolutely no problem to Ethiopia. That is clear from this record. Furthermore, Your Honor, according to the State Department report, which is part of this record, Eritrea and Ethiopia are no longer in hostilities. They may not be friends, but they're not fighting anymore. The war is concluded. There's been a cessation of hostilities. Eritreans are no longer being deported or forced out on national security grounds by Ethiopia. And that's the evidence in this record. There's no evidence otherwise, Your Honor. Nor did the immigration judge improperly apply FUDUL. FUDUL was properly applied here. Mr. Hale has not had...
I cannot tell you how strenuously I disagree with you on that point. There's just no way to explain to you how strenuously I disagree. FUDUL was Palestinian, born and raised in Saudi Arabia. D'Souza was born and raised in Kenya to parents from Goa, Portuguese colony of Goa. In those cases, in contrast, the petitioners were considered citizens of Ethiopia before the war's outbreak. Those two cases are simply not on point here.
Well, Your Honor, there's one major distinction between this case and those two cases. Mr. Hale is an Ethiopian citizen. He did not show that he was ever stripped of that citizenship. And there's nothing in this record that can show otherwise. Passport is a presumptive evidence that he is actually the citizen of that country. His birth certificate. The fact he stayed there...
That's exactly why those two cases aren't on point. They involved denials to non-citizens.
Yes, Your Honor, but this is a case where you have a citizen who is still a citizen. This is not a case where anybody has been stripped of anything.
Look, we're talking about the two cases, which you say are helpful to you. They are not. That's the point that I'm trying to get across. They are not helpful to you.
They are helpful in the one point, Your Honor, that the sovereign can claim who is a citizen and who is not.
Well,
in this case, you don't even have to get that far. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's an important point that you're making, and I want to clarify it. When you talk about the right to decide, I guess, who's a citizen, or whatever you think those cases do. They said two people who were not citizens, you know, they could say they weren't. In this case, you're saying he is not stripped of his citizenship, that he is a citizen of Ethiopia. Were he not a citizen, would that be persecution?
Not per se persecution, Your Honor. It would be a factor that you would consider in the rubric of determining whether this is actual persecution. In this case, of course, as you already stated, Your Honor, this individual has not proven that he's stateless. If he had proven that point, then you would look at other factors. The fact that he was that Ethiopia at that time in 1998 was expelling people, first of all, for national security grounds. We're not clear what that is from this record, whether those were actual threats to the Ethiopian security. That's not in this record.
What's missing in the record?
First of all, Your Honor, any evidence that this individual is in fact stateless, that he has ever been persecuted at all in Ethiopia. In fact, he testified he had never been persecuted. Nobody in his family, except possibly his uncle, had ever been persecuted. His family, his parents, willingly went to Eritrea. They did not. They weren't forcibly sent to Eritrea. That was their choice. That's in this record. There's a lot of things not in this record. The major thing not in this record is that this individual is stateless. There's no evidence in this record that would compel the conclusion that he is stateless.
Is there any? Forgive me.
No problem.
You know, my heart goes out to you having to argue this case on this record. Do we know if Ethiopia recognizes this man's citizenship?
Every indication is that they do, Your Honor. He has a passport. He has a birth certificate. He has all the indications of citizenship that are relevant. From this record, that's what we have, Your Honor. He, of course, has the burden of showing that, in fact, they don't recognize him. And from this record, there's no evidence that they do not recognize him. The Supreme Court addressed a case just this year named Jama, where it was a Somali citizen, and the question was whether the state had to accept him back. Well, that's where we're at right now, Your Honor. We don't even know if the state will accept Mr. Hale back. We haven't gotten that far. If we had gotten that far, we'd be in a different posture.
But if we haven't gotten that far, shouldn't we be giving him the benefit of the doubt? Are we just going to, you know?
Well, Your Honor, no. Actually, we don't give him. Unfortunately, that's not the way the immigration laws work. The asylum laws do not work to give him the benefit of the doubt. He has the burden of proving his case. And he has not proven that he will not be accepted back into Ethiopia. In fact, the record evidence shows that Ethiopian citizens of his descent are, in fact, accepted in Ethiopia now. Possibly not in 1998, where the security grounds, which it's unclear what those were, but yes, our sympathy may go out to this individual, but we must comply with the law and follow that through to see if Mr. Hale can actually be accepted back into Ethiopia.
Yeah,
if not, then he's in a different posture.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, Ethiopia has a sovereign right to decide, you know, whether or not a petitioner is a citizen. Our problem here is, the way I view it at any rate, is that the IJ relied on two cases which simply aren't on point to make that point.
Well,
and that's our problem.
Your Honor, there is one big factual distinction. He didn't even find that Mr. Hale was stateless. Then he cited Fadul, but he didn't make that factual finding that this is a stateless individual.
He cited Fadul for his findings.
In Fadul and
D'Souza, I believe.
D'Souza, those are two cases where they in fact found that those individuals were stateless, but the statelessness in and of itself was not sufficient to grant asylum in those two cases. In this case, we haven't even got there, Your Honor. We haven't even gotten that Mr. Hale is a stateless person.
Well, how do we get there?
How do we get there, Your Honor? The next step is the JAMA step, and also a few other Supreme Court cases that were heard this year regarding Cuban nationals who were in 1980 the Cuban boat lift over to the United States. Those people cannot go to Cuba, back to Cuba. However, the executive has other ways of dealing with those individuals, and there are other immigration relief or sending to a different country. In this case, it's interesting to note Mr. Hale just doesn't want to go to Eritrea. He says he that's his choice. He doesn't want to go there. But there are other ways for the executive to deal with this. Also, there are other ways. This is an important point as far as foreign policy is concerned. The executive has to deal with Ethiopia's treatment of the Eritreans and vice versa in many ways. It can look at economic sanctions. There are many devices, foreign policy devices, that could be used here, but that's for the executive to determine if they determine that there's actual persecution going on. The executive has not done so in this case.
So now let me just get it straight. It is your contention that Mr. Hale has an Ethiopian passport?
It is in the record, Your Honor. It's not my contention. It is in the record. And I'm sorry I don't have the page site for you, but it's in the record. He has an Ethiopian passport. He has an Ethiopian birth certificate. He claims he's Ethiopian. His claim of statelessness today is just not supported by this record.
So we won't know until he goes back whether he's going to be persecuted or rejected.
Now,
or
Your Honor, the question was whether he'll be accepted or not. I think that's his contention. He can't go back to Ethiopia because they won't allow him in. We're not to that point yet, Your Honor.
Well, rejected, accepted, whatever you want to call
but
it.
But as far as persecution, there's no evidence in this record that he was ever persecuted or would be persecuted if he's returned to Ethiopia.
Now, if he's just stopped at the border and say, you're not welcome here, is that persecution?
That's not persecution per se, Your Honor, no. That is not.
So he'd have to show a lot of other things, I guess. What, economic deprivation or what?
Usually economic deprivation. Your Honor, my time's up, but if you...
Yeah, well, I don't know where we're going with this. That's why... When we say somebody is stateless and let's call it deprived of citizenship or something like that, then where do you... When you say they can't stay here, where do they go? And what has to happen for the situation to change if they go wherever we tell them to go, I guess in this case Ethiopia?
Well, as the Supreme Court said in JAMA, that's a question that, you know, for the executive to make. If they can't, you know, where do we send people if the receiving country will not take them? That per se is not persecution. That's a separate issue of persecution. Persecution is the actual treatment they would receive in that country, and this individual is not shown past persecution. Or is he shown that he's going to receive future persecution because the State Department has concluded that hostilities have ceased and Eritreans are now maybe not welcome but are allowed into Ethiopia and are still living there?
Do you see anything like an Alice in Wonderland feel about all of this?
Your Honor, much of immigration law, from my experience, is Alice in Wonderland. And I hate to say that, but that's true.
Better be a citizen of Wonderland.
Sure is.
To be perfectly honest, it is Alice in Wonderland. But Congress has given us these laws and much to enforce. And we need to take it one step at a time. And we're not to the rabbit hole on this one yet.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Got anything more? You all done?
According to the asylum statute,
you
don't wait until
minutes.
We've dropped or attempt to drop.
Ms. Fasciata, you have 4.5 minutes.
I do?
I'm leaving.
Oh, my goodness.
See that man over there? He just gave it to you.
My goodness. Well, I didn't realize I was that efficient. I never am that efficient. I'd love to talk. The question that we're... The 1997 Ethiopian passport has to be explained in this way. When Eritrea seceded, Ethiopia was not quite sure what to do with these people who were of Eritrean parentage, but who were born in Ethiopia. And in fact, still doesn't know what to do. When Eritrea and Ethiopia began fighting with each other, It provided Ethiopia with a very convenient excuse to just throw them over on the other side. In 1995, Ethiopia amended its constitution from what it was in 1930 when Ethiopia was one country. And in 1995, it said that a person is Ethiopian, man or woman is Ethiopian, if one of the parents is Ethiopian, meaning that they are going to apply the rule of jus sanguini, which is the rule that was applied in Fadul. We don't apply that in the United States because we say if you're born here, you're a citizen. But in Ethiopia, as in the rest of Europe, if your mother and father were born in the country that you're born in, you become the same national or citizen. This was true in Fadul. This was true in D'Souza. So that anybody that's simply born there whose parents are not of the same nationality or citizenship is not considered a citizen at birth, unlike the United States. So that when 1995 Ethiopia radically changed the constitution, now it said those of you who are born of Eritrean parentage in Ethiopia are not Ethiopian citizens. Those of you who are born in Ethiopia of Ethiopian parents are citizens. And that's the way it really declared itself on the question of where do these people go and who are they citizens of. But it did nothing about this. So that in 1997, petitioner did get a passport, did go visit his brothers in Switzerland and elsewhere, and then came back, didn't even have problems getting an exit visa. Ethiopian passports are typically valid for about 2 years, from my experience anyway. And what is in the record is simply a copy of an Ethiopian passport with petitioner's picture. And we say that it is the passport he got. But it doesn't show you when it expired. And it probably expired in 1999. There is evidence in the record that the immigration judge could have noticed that said that after the hostilities commenced between Ethiopia and Eritrea, which gave Ethiopia a wonderful excuse to throw these people out of the country because they weren't citizens under the Ethiopian Constitution of 1995. Once that happened, the Ethiopian government was routinely confiscating Eritrean nationals' passports, or people of Eritrean parentage, I guess you'd call it. They were confiscating their passports and not issuing new passports to these people. They were forced to confiscate their passports. And in cases where they had passports, those passports were valid for one trip out of the country and not coming back. So there is evidence in the file that establishes that 1997 Ethiopian passport is nothing more than a piece of paper. He's never going to be admitted to Ethiopia, and he is stateless. So on that score, Your Honor, I think that there is enough evidence in the record, even from the INS's own resource report, that said, quoting an Ethiopian official, that we're not going to give these people Ethiopian passports. We don't care what happens to them. They're gone from our country, and if they want to leave, they can leave, but they can never return. So at what point do we say this man is persecuted? Do we say he's persecuted when we want to airlift him over Ethiopia and drop him? Do we want to say he's persecuted because at this point in time, once all the decisions have been made? Of course, it's for the executive to decide whether or not and how he's going to get there. He is stateless. He deserves asylum. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. In this case, we take another.